On today's Bloggers Roundtable, a scandal that hit Oprah Winfrey's exclusive girls' school in South Africa, and Denzel's role as a notorious Harlem drug lord. With us today, freelance writer and novelist Angela Winters. Her blog is Polytopics. Author and DJ Richard Graves writes the blog DJ Black Adam, and writer David Mills of the blog Undercover Black Man. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Hello.
So let's start with Oprah. In January, she opened the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy for Girls near Johannesburg, created the school to help poor and disadvantaged girls, and it took 6 years and more than $40 million to get off the ground. Here's Oprah speaking at the opening ceremony.
This has been a long time coming. This is not just, for me, some small idea. This is a supreme moment of destiny for me. I've been coming to this day my entire life.
But earlier this month, reports of abuse and misconduct have surfaced at the school. Charges have since been filed against a dorm mother. She's accused of grabbing a student by the throat and throwing her against the wall, swearing and screaming at the girls, assaulting them, and sexually fondling at least one. The school has suspended the principal and two matrons as well, and Oprah issued a written apology. She said, quote, "Nothing is more serious or devastating to me than an allegation of misconduct by an adult against any girl at the academy. I will do everything within my power to ensure their safety and well-being." So let me start with you, David. Oprah is mythic at this point, legendary. There have been whole books written about the gospel of Oprah. Mm-hmm. Is this a case of no good deed goes unpunished, that even though you try to do your best, any number of things could happen?
It's partly that. What blows my mind is that this is has been driven by the South African media. And before these latest allegations, which are serious and which they're going to get to the bottom of, but within months, a month or two of the school opening, there was news reports that, oh, it's too strict. They don't let the kids eat sweets. You know, the parents can only visit once a month. There was a lot of an element of human nature, whereas if you give people something and they feel indebted to you, they'll resent you for it. And I'm wondering whether South Africans resent Oprah, you know, this foreign billionaire from coming in and, you know, building a school and educating their kids.
Angela, what do you think about that?
I think that it's one of those cases where if you're in charge of something, you are responsible. And for that sense, I think that it's okay for people to be upset with her. But I don't think that there's any justification in as far as having a higher expectation of her than you would any other person. This is a different country with a different culture and different standards. And I think that she's probably trying to run it the best she can. And based on her own history as a child of abuse, I think that anything that she could have done within her own power to prevent something like that from happening, I would believe her if she said that she had.
Richard, there are certainly many celebrities who do philanthropy, but some of them do it a little bit more for show, and some of them dig in and really build new institutions. How do you take a look at celebrity efforts in general, and as well as this one by Oprah?
Well, with Oprah in this situation, I think her heart was in the right place, and I think that she sincerely wanted to help the young ladies in South Africa. So I don't think that it's I really don't think it's fair that everyone's trying to actually put the blame at her feet for this. I do understand from my former military time, when you're in charge of something, that the buck stops with the person in charge. But, I mean, she hired some people and some people that didn't do what they were supposed to do. So, and I'm sure that she'll get to the bottom of it. I'm sure they'll be punished, and I'm sure that she'll go on. But I think overall with Oprah, just like with Bono and a few other celebrities, I think her heart is in the right place, and I think she truly wants to help there.
Richard, I want to move on to another topic. Denzel Washington's latest movie, American Gangster, it opens this Friday, and he stars as the real-life heroin kingpin Frank Lucas. Lucas was one of the biggest and baddest drug dealers in the 1960s and 70s.
The man I worked for had one of the biggest companies in New York City. He ran it for more than 50 years. 15 years. 8 months and 9 days, I was with him every day. I worked for him, I protected him, I looked after him, I learned from him. Gumby was rich, but he wasn't white man rich. You see, he wasn't wealthy. He didn't own his own company. He thought he did, but he didn't. He just managed it. White man owned it, so they owned him. Nobody owns me, though.
Hey.
How you doing, baby?
Good.
That's because I own my own company, and my company sells a product that's better than the competition at a price that's lower than the competition.
Richard, in that scene, you see so many analogies between being a gangster and being a legitimate businessman. Is this really one of the fantasies that Americans have held up at different times from The Godfather forward?
I think so, but this one relatively disturbs me, especially what's going on in the African-American community right now, where we have hip-hop images where people are trying to uplift drug dealers and pimps and gangsters. And then you got Denzel, one of our brightest stars, doing a film where he's playing a guy, Frank Lucas, a criminal who's admitted to killing people. And we're celebrating this like this is like the next Ben-Hur or something. It's embarrassing to me, actually.
Well, David, what about that?
I don't worry more about it being harmful. I see it more as a likely wasted opportunity, because the reality of black organized crime, I think, is fascinating. And I think it's a great untold story. It's like the secret social history of American cities in the last 40 years. But I do not expect this movie to delve into that. It's not about that. It's about, you know, big movie star performances. It's about, you know, it's about a fun time at the movies, and people are going to go out and
a fun time at the movies about a guy who basically destroyed Harlem?
Well,
that's a fun time at the movies? I understand
for people
it. It's
who
entertainment.
Like
I mean, I've enjoyed Scarface. I enjoyed Goodfellas and all that stuff. And I know Ridley Scott's not an African-American, so it's really not his concern how it affects the community. What I am concerned about is black radio, black media, how they're celebrating this. This is, to me, ridiculous. I mean, especially what's going on right now.
Richard, do you ever think that the cautionary tale side will come through, or do people just
no.
go for the...
No, no. No, I mean, I've been to theaters with people. I was there when they watched Carlito's Way. No one got the point of that. Minister Society, nobody got the point of that. At the end of Minister Society and Boys in the Hood, instead of people talking about the morals of the story, what I heard most of the young men talking about as they were leaving was how Ice Cube held his gun or how somebody shot somebody. I think the moral of any of these stories is generally lost. Even when it's The Godfather, you know, people celebrate the Corleone family, and you see people wanting to emulate that. You got rappers naming themselves after drug lords like Escobar and things of this nature. So I don't think people get the moral of the story. I think they just pick up the negative and they run with it. And I think that, again, I can't expect Ridley Scott to have a conscience when dealing with the African-American community. But I do believe that African-American media has a responsibility to not celebrate this thing and act like this is, you know, like Denzel got casted to play Moses or something. I mean, the reality of the situation is this guy, Frank Lucas, put drugs in Harlem and destroyed people's lives and destroyed black people's lives. I mean, what, we're going to do a film about the Ku Klux Klan? I mean, this guy actually destroyed more black lives than I think the Klan ever did. We're celebrating this.
Let me get Angela in here. You know, Richard has been talking a little bit about the hip-hop angle. We actually, on Friday, will have interviews with two of the people in the film, the hip-hop artist Common and the RZA. One plays a cop, one plays a gangster. Do you think that the hip-hop generation has either embraced or at least carried forward the banner of saying gangsters are my heroes, and why so?
I think that the issue in the hip-hop community is that anything that makes money is considered a good thing, and they've lost any delineation between what's right and what's wrong. If it makes money, it's good. And because there's such a lack of positive role models in their immediate community, this is what they have. The movie is not the problem. It's a good story. I mean, just like any other big crime story out there, it's a good story. The problem is the reaction to it within the community and, like you said, the media. It's how you, what did you learn from it? I mean, people who would go and see Godfather would either think that this is a horrible life or that that's the coolest thing in the world. It's really the reaction in the community's support or lack of support for the in story.
Today is All Hallows Eve, Halloween, and tonight kids dress up as everything from Batman to iPods, go roaming the streets begging for candy. But there's a new study out, because there's always a study. If you live in a lower-income neighborhood, your doorbell will be quiet because parents are worried about safety. And also, if you send out kids in African-American neighborhoods, you might not get as much candy. I know that that's not quite the same as widespread employment discrimination. Is this worth taking a look at, David?
I'm afraid, you know, and I've thought about this all night, and I'm afraid, you know, I don't have kids. And when you don't have kids, they could stop having Halloween, and it really wouldn't matter to me. I really wouldn't care. So, yeah, this is down on the list of things I think we need to worry about.
Angela, what about that, though? I mean, in the sense that kids do, many kids do take this holiday to heart. If your neighborhood isn't safe, what do you do then?
I think it's another area in which kids are sort of put at a disadvantage because of the community in which they live. I think it's a sign of a lack of community trust. That's a breakdown in a lot of Black neighborhoods, which I think is probably similar to anywhere where it's less safe. I think what would be interesting about this is if they compared working class or poor Black neighborhoods to neighborhoods, Hispanic or white or Asian neighborhoods, whether or not they feel safe. So is it just that is it a poverty issue, a poor issue, or is it something that's exclusive within the Black community?
David, what about other options? If there are these holidays that generally people have been out on the street, should communities try to provide other options for kids if it's not safe in the neighborhood?
Do you mean me?
Sorry, I meant Richard.
Oh, okay. Well, I would hope that if we're talking about low-income areas or areas where people are having real problems, I think that I would hope they'd be more concerned about spending money or trying to gear their kids towards other issues besides seeing if they can trick-or-treat or whatnot. I mean, I'm sure that some of the churches in some of these communities have parties for kids and stuff like that that are relatively safe, so I don't think that they miss out in the overall commercialism of the holiday. But I would hope that people in inner city neighborhoods that have income problems are a little bit concerned about other things besides trick-or-treating.
Finally, and this is going to have to be a speed round, Barack Obama went on MTV MySpace Dialogue, and he said that Denzel Washington would play him if there was anyone who was going to play him in a life story. What do you guys think of that? Quickly, David, Richard, Angela.
Who else would do it? I mean, honestly, what other actor out there? There aren't a lot of Black actors to play male role models. But if he could do it, why not? It's acting. You don't have to look like the guy. You just have
Barack
to be able
also,
to act.
I'm sorry, Barack also mentioned Will Smith because of the ears. And I think Will Smith, I think that's a good match.
Yeah, I think Will Smith would be good.
Yeah, the ears are similar.
They remind me
two.
Of each other.
So. A little bit closer in age, too. All right. Well, we have been talking with David Mills of the blog Undercover Black Man. He was with me at our NPR West studios. Freelance writer and novelist Angela Winters. Her political blog is Politopics. She was at our headquarters in Washington, D.C. And author and DJ Richard Graves, who writes the blog DJ Black Adam at member station WBEZ in Chicago. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. And the conversation doesn't stop here. Our online series, Speak Your Mind, gives you a chance to sound off on the issues you care about. To find out how, go to our blog, nprnewsandviews.org, and click on Speak Your Mind.